Welcome to my favorite number of all the numbers. Episode 9 Woo! Of the Nerd Bash Podcast.
Season 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael Quinn, and I don't have my belts today because I did not come from home. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael Quinn. I'm also known as Stephen Person. Wrestler extraordinaire, podcast extraordinaire, actor extraordinaire, and
friend extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great episode here for you today. We have one of our famous little sit-down interviews with somebody, my good friend Natalia, who's going to be doing a little bit of her personal life and everything like that with a very unique topic, which I find very interesting, beekeeping, which is... It's a little nerdy, but it's also very cool. Excited. And I like bringing out people that like who have like these special interests in life and who like to do certain things in their world. And we can share it all together. And, you know, we learn about it. And then maybe if you feel like something this is maybe you want to do or just listen to. Hey, listen, that's what we're here for, baby. So first, co-host extraordinaire, actress, comedian, model. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Susie Sizer.
Thank you.
Susie Sizer. That's what people need names. Susie Sizer. There you go.
It's a lot of scissors.
And to her right, a friend and actress. She's done amazing things. And Ken's here. What is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, this man right here, he makes the whole entire show happen. I love him to death. He just popped up out of nowhere. At first, I thought you were Tiba, and I was like, wait, what? So, ladies and gentlemen, friend extraordinaire. She's amazing. She's funny. She has a really sick amount of tattoos. And also, she's a beekeeper, and she sells her own products, which we're going to talk about in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Natalia. Yay. Tap, 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 clap, 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 tap, 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 clap, clap, clap. And to her right, Atiba, who's running late. For the people who are listening
actually,
right now.
He's invisible today.
I know, so. He's invisible. You can't see him. So right now, he's actually running a little bit late. He'll be here in literally a minute, so it's okay.
The weather is terrible here, by the way, you guys.
Yeah, so it's about to, like, downpour, like, you know what.
It's about to storm.
Yeah, so let's get back into our topic, which we were talking about at the last podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about video game systems. And really what they meant, not just to people growing up, but what they meant to people who were... how should I say this the right way? When we're developing personalities, and I feel like video games always brought people together. I personally met a lot of my friends playing video games. I talked about this in season one. If you've been watching with us the whole entire time, if you haven't, go back to season one and explain to my love about video games. Video games mean a lot to different people because the stories that they wrap you around bring you such amazing things. And the thing is, you can only play for a certain amount of time. So it's like you can't binge a video game back in the day. You had school, you were kids, there was responsibilities that you had to keep up with. You know, you couldn't be there around the whole entire day.
You had discipline.
Exactly. You had other people yelling at you, do your homework and stuff. So video games were really just like an escape from all that stuff, all the grades and all the studying and everything. And it's really cool. And even today, video games are an escape from people where you can literally just... live a different life. You learn about characters and how they interact with people and surprises, and you're testing yourself and you're trying to beat a certain level. It's just so much good stuff. Susie wasn't here last time. So Susie, last time we talked about Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and Nintendo 64. I know you have a lot of experience with video games. Just give me a quick rundown of those systems. Like, what were your interactions when you first got those systems? Because you grew up in a different country.
No, but I was born when my parents came to this country.
But that's what I'm saying.
So I didn't speak any English.
Yes.
I still have trouble with some words.
Yes.
I really didn't have any friends because I couldn't communicate. I lived on video games. Video games were my savior because I grew up such a loner. Mm-hmm. So I want to say Nintendo like saved my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the, first of all, I had Atari. My brother had Atari, so I took that over. Then Nintendo came along and I'm telling you, I used to tell everybody I was married to Mario because like I loved the Mario Brothers series so much, from Duck Hunt.
Cartridge, right?
Yeah. I think my parents kind of thought for a second I was going to become a serial killer because I loved Duck Hunt like so much. Duck Hunt.
Susie, 50 ducks found dead. Who do you know?
Do you have a thing for mustachioed men now?
Friendship wise.
Hey.
Definitely. Look who's sneaking in the back.
Hey.
Sit down. Put your headphone on. You start. Ladies and gentlemen.
Atiba has arrived.
To her right. A man who has a band-aid on his arm for some reason. I guess he's copying Nelly, whatever.
Nelly?
I guess he punched Nelly in the face. I don't know.
Tattoo of Nelly's face.
put a band-aid on it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Pro wrestler, actor, drummer extraordinaire. Ladies and gentlemen. Prince Atiba.
Woo!
All right, screw you. You're late. Back to the.
But anyway,
talk to the microphone too, by the way, because you always do that.
What happened?
There you go.
There we go.
So,
Casper's seat has been filled. not to like digress too much, but yeah, but video games pretty much saved my life. So Nintendo was like Castlevania, like all of that. Game Boy, oh boy, when I learned that you can take Nintendo on the go, my life had changed completely.
Kirby's Dream Land.
I didn't talk about Game Boy, by the way. I'll save it for her.
Donkey Kong. I just want to mention how much I love Donkey Kong. I have a really big thing for owls and monkeys, and I think that's where my monkey thing started.
Yeah.
I also noticed you have a tattoo of what looks to be an owl.
No, it's Majora's Mask.
It's a Zelda game.
Oh, it is.
Very cool. Zelda. I actually played Breath of the Wild. Yeah. Anyway, moving forward, I wasn't allowed to have Sega Genesis because I was already...
What?
My parents didn't allow me to have anything Sega
because
for some reason.
Because it did what Nintendo...
Well, here's the thing. A lot of things with Sega... I remember hearing about this. A lot of people didn't want Sega because what happened was there was a lot of games that were like really kind of like...
Older. Violent.
Violent. Like Mortal Kombat.
That was the cool system.
Yeah, that was the cool system. They were the ones who had blood in it. So yes. A lot of people didn't want to have people to have Sega Genesis because of that reason. So
the Nintendo games were very like family and child friendly.
Super Nintendo.
So yes, I had Super Nintendo. I had Game Boy. Super Nintendo was Sonic. My Sonic days were like Super Nintendo, totally.
Well, that's totally Genesis, but okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, so I did have a Game Gear.
Game Gear, yes.
I did
Game
talk
Gear.
My
yes. Totally agree.
I did talk my parents when the Game Boy, the fad was over. I did talk them into getting me a Game Gear.
Game Gear came out with Sonic. It had a...
That's right.
It came out with a nice little game for Sonic.
Yes, and it had Ren and Stimpy, which I probably played a thousand hours of.
Wow. Did you have Nintendo 64?
I lived. I breathed. Nintendo 64 is my favorite system of
all
time.
Give me your favorite game. Give me
Golden Gun.
Golden Eye.
Golden Eye.
Gun and Golden Eye. She meant. I totally got what she meant. I got to rein Susie in sometimes because sometimes Susie will sit there and like get so excited she forgets what she's talking about, and I'm like, no, Susie, that person's still alive.
Mike is really good with me. We've been friends since high school. He knows how to get me back on track, and he knows what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't always make sense.
Very good interpreter.
But then again, my scared my parents with serial killer thing because my favorite gun was to, my favorite game was to just
so
shoot people.
You went
in the
from
face.
Duck
they
Hunt
thought
to
you were
going to
be a serial killer.
Yep.
It was always just shooting stuff. Yeah, same wheelhouse.
My parents were a little nervous. I liked to like. Well, all the girls were like cutting their doll's hair. I was like ripping the heads off.
Oh, I would shove them inside out. I would turn them.
Yeah. Okay, so you were Dahmer like me.
I did it with my Ninja Turtles. Remember they had the rubber heads at first.
Yes. And you had to break everything out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nintendo 64, give me another game for Nintendo 64.
Nobody knows this game because I'm a loser, but being Ukrainian, Tetris is like my favorite game in the whole entire world. Tetrisphere. Did you play Tetrisphere?
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody ever knows what that is. Okay.
Is that like the 3D, it's round? Or
it's crazy. Yes.
I am so good at Tetrisphere. Ooh. I challenge you. I love you.
Yes.
But I challenge you, I will wreck you. I will wreck anybody. I used to put money on the table.
Natalia's over here giving out drugs. No. Candy drugs, sugar drugs.
For diabetes.
I actually tried one, and it was delicious.
He was like, yeah, please.
I was like, not now.
Just one?
Not
give me
now.
Two.
Yeah, so, good. I'm glad we all caught up. That's all the systems that we talked about last time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move forward
right now. You didn't mention TurboGrafx 16?
Screw TurboGrafx 16.
Bonk's Adventure?
Wasn't it 32? Oh, 32X for Sega. Sorry, I'm thinking.
Oh, with the add-ons?
Yeah, the add-ons.
Yeah,
that's all Sega did. Sega just kept on adding stuff on.
Add-ons.
So we're going to move along with this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a beautiful little system that everyone may know. It's near and dear to our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, PlayStation 1.
The best system.
Yes.
So PlayStation 1 came out, I believe, in 94. 95, you're right, 95, because I won the tournament. We were talking about that last time.
After the old Nintendo screw job.
Yep, the old Nintendo screw job. So we talked about it for a little bit last time. I want to get your two analysis on it, because I know I didn't get you on it. PlayStation, give me a game that you played that was like really just like...
Banjo and Kazooie.
That was 64.
Yeah, that was
64.
No. You're thinking about Ratchet and Clank, I think.
Oh, I'm thinking of Ratchet and Clank.
That's PS2.
No, there's another one that came out. There was...
Is it Croc?
Maybe.
PS1. That was exclusive PS1. Croc.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually.
Clank. Clank and Ratchet.
And Clank.
Ratchet and Clank was PS2.
Yeah.
I didn't actually.
And Jack and Daxter.
Yeah.
I didn't actually have PlayStation until the 2 because my parents, we didn't really grow up like with a ton of money. Yeah. So I had to like, you know, it's either this or that.
Human trafficking. Okay, well, talk about Mario moving him across. Yes. You know, you got to save the princess. You got to get her out of castle.
Speaking of
Frogger.
Exactly.
I'm going to make a really bad joke right now.
That's what Bowser was doing.
Only her, though.
He was moving her from place to place. That's human trafficking, right? Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, speaking of trafficking, I'm about to make a really bad joke, but I wonder how many people will be dressed as Diddy for Halloween.
Oh, my God.
Diddy or Diddy Kong?
Oh, wait. Did we miss Louis Kimmy Gion?
Diddy Kong. Yo, Diddy Kong. Dressed up like a monkey butt with baby oil.
He's after bananas all the time.
I know. Right?
I think his case got dismissed, didn't it?
No. He didn't get dismissed. What happened was that they were trying to get it dismissed. They made a motion for a mistrial, but I don't think they're going to get it.
I think he's a patsy. But that's neither here nor
there. Who's a patsy? The diddler?
Because here's the thing about
Luigi Mangione.
Oh, yeah. Luigi.
Yeah, because he looks like nothing.
Yeah.
He did it. He looks like nothing.
No, yeah. He looks nothing like the pictures on the news.
Yeah. I was going to say he looks nothing like the Luigi I grew up with.
I know, right?
Like Luigi.
My Luigi. If he dressed up in
green. Mustache and green hat.
Exactly, right? How come he just didn't jump on him and get 100 points?
They've AI'd that already.
What if he shot the guy with a duck hunting gun?
No, what if he shot him with a fireball?
All right, I mean, if you want to talk, you know, real Molotov cocktails, let's do it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, all right, moving on to the most...
PS1.
No, we're talking about that. We talked about last time. I didn't talk about her. PS2, the most selling console, period. Like, that console changed the world. Now, I was in the military when I was in Germany, and honestly, like, I remember the first time I ever played, I even touched anything, PlayStation 2, was Mortal Kombat, what was it, Annihilation?
Deception,
or Annihilation.
Deadly Alliance, one of those.
It was Deadly Alliance came first, then Deception.
And then Armageddon.
If we had it wrong, I'm sorry, I just can't remember.
The 3D era.
But I remember the graphics on Sonya Blades with her boobs bouncing up and down, and I was like, everybody in the barracks, my friend Brian Lambert was like, yo, man, look at her titties going bouncing up and down, and I'm like...
Big heavy breathing.
that's all PS2 was good for.
I liked the cinematic. PS2 for 7 years.
They would compete with Dead or Alive. That's what
exactly. PlayStation 2 game. Give it to me.
Okay, so first of all, The Incredibles was one of my favorites.
My nephews played that game. That was actually really fun game.
And there was like a 1 and 2.
Yep.
There was also... Crash Bandicoot?
I was going to say Crash Bandicoot. Sorry. I can't.
Crash Bandicoot came out on 1, but Crash Bandicoot...
They released it.
They released it and reanimated it.
I didn't play it until 2.
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot and XXX BMX. I don't know if anybody ever played that one.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It's like you have to do bike tricks.
It's almost like Excite Bike. It's almost like Tony Hawk, basically.
Which one is Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
That's 2. Came out for 2.
That was on PS1 and 2.
The soundtrack was fantastic.
That's his own... I want to literally do an episode on just Tony Hawk games. Yeah. That's all I want to do.
With Spider-Man as a hidden character.
Exactly, Spider-Man. So was somebody else. Darth Vader, I think, was a hidden character.
Because I think Activision made those games.
Yeah, right.
So they did Spidey. All right.
Natalia, give me PlayStation 2 games.
I was going to say Crash Bandicoot, but
that's fine.
I don't know. So I can't remember really any number 2 games. I just remember Resident Evil 2, but I think they came out on PS1, no?
Yes.
It came out on 1, but 3 came out on 2.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember because it's so hard with PS2 and PS3. I get them so confused.
Yeah, I just everything is because
everything continued.
Everything continued.
Which is one of the good things about the system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll give you a fun title you can talk about. Grand Theft Auto.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. Let's talk about that.
Which one? Because I know there was
1 and 2 came out on PlayStation 1.
Vice City.
Yeah, Vice City.
And then there was
3. Then Vice City. Then San Andreas.
Yes.
San Andreas came out for 3. Vice City came out for 2. I believe.
No. It was 3, Vice City, San Andreas, all on PS2.
Yes. I could remember 3 if Andreas came out on that. So, yeah, those games were literally, like, I remember playing PS1 Grand Theft Auto, and my friend James.
2D, top down.
Oh, my God, and the controls were absolutely horrendous, but it was so much fun. Like, you had to steal trucks and make sure they didn't explode, and you get to go on killing frenzies.
I never did any of the missions. I just literally got as many stars as possible.
Me too.
Banged hookers, and then killed them.
Me too. Again, serial killer.
Me too. Oh, my God.
So I got the mansion and got the helicopter.
Yep.
Pick people off from top of the mansion.
So three I loved. 3 was really like the most groundbreaking, like difference between them, because with 3,
Vice City was the best soundtrack too.
Well, yeah,
first open world, I think, right?
It was the first open world.
Everything copied.
It was the first person view. Well, a third person view.
Yeah, like superhero games copied that formula.
Exactly.
Everything copied the open world formula.
People don't realize the instrumental ability that game put people into thinking about video games, like in development. In players, in just the whole video game genre changed because that game made so much money that it saved Rockstar. Rockstar was going to go under because they were like, all right, we're going to do Grand Theft Auto. And they were like, let's just change it and do this whole big thing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, it's never going to work. And then the game just became like ridiculous. Yeah. And it started off
controversial too, which helped it sell.
Exactly. That was the game where people really started boycotting the system and the game, because it was just absolutely bananas how much that game just was violent. Like, you were literally like, the other one, it looked, people were like, oh, this game is very violent, and you're stealing cars. Yeah. And it was cartoony. In this one, you played as somebody the entire time, and you've developed that skill set of violence. So then Vice City came out.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Tell me about Vice City.
I would just drive in the car and like listen to the music.
Yeah. Yeah. That
was, and you can change the station.
That was the first time they had licensed music.
Yep. Yeah. They had licensed music. The first one did actually.
No, the first one only had the.
The rap music.
No.
The rap song was licensed.
It had the Scarface soundtrack in one of the stations in three.
Yeah, oh, you're right. But it did have, what's it called? It did have actually soundtrack music in the first one. They did have like some very small samples.
Oh, they were indie artists.
Yeah, they were indie artists, but they still had music. So people always think that it was just random music. It was actually real music.
I remember the country song.
Yeah, so now, what's it called? So now you move on to Vice City, where it was just Scarface, the it was Miami like 80s, theme. And everything like that. So what do you think about Vice City?
I loved Vice City. I have Grand Theft Auto 5, and I play it pretty often. I think it's come such a long way.
Yeah.
I think Vice City will probably be one of my favorites because it was the first real... Like, remember Crazy Taxi?
That? Mm-hmm. That came out for Dreamcast. Yes. That came out for Dreamcast.
That was one of my favorite games of all time. So when you talk about, like, Vice City, it was a reminder of it's like, it's more...
Yeah.
I loved the missions and stuff.
Give me some more about Vice City. Two.
Ooh, just that
three and Vice City.
Three, that like you said, three was groundbreaking. Funny thing, it was actually, I think three was released 2002, right?
Yes.
Controversial 10 years after Mortal Kombat, the other controversial game. So that's what I looked at as a successor to Mortal Kombat as far as its controversy and how it pushed the industry.
Yep.
But like my game out of the three, it was Vice City.
Vice City is always
just
the best,
because of that. The whole, like the Scarface thing, the mansion was based off of the mansion from Scarface.
Yes.
I feel like it set the groundwork for where they are right now, you know, where Grand Theft Auto is now, and everybody's like so patiently waiting for GTA 6. It's like, how do we top that? How do we
exactly
got pushed back
every
again.
Single one? It's like, how do we top that?
I'm so mad. It was supposed to come out what?
This year.
It was supposed to come out July. Now it's coming out late this year.
No, it's coming out next year, 2026.
And what's the difference in that one?
So like, basically, this one
is movie style.
It's movie style. Like, you're basically going to be doing whatever. You can walk into buildings.
It's like a
now.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Like, it's a $1 billion game.
So on Twitch, when I go on Twitch, they'll be streaming GTA. Was that GTA 5?
Yeah, that's GTA 5, yeah.
Oh, and
5 came out like 15 years ago, I think.
They're doing all these like funny storylines. Like, there's cops. Yeah,
there's people.
They're doing their own story. They're making their own story. So that's dope.
Hilarious. It's dope. So funny.
In 5, you could basically do whatever you want. You can set up your own adventures. You could sit there and like just basically mod stuff. You could do whatever you need to. And the thing is that people will play in the game as certain roles. So you can literally sign up to be a cop and just run around and drive people. It's crazy. So 6 is going to blow this game out of the water when it comes out. All right, moving on. PlayStation 3.
Wait, we didn't say my game for PS2.
Oh, which one? I'm sorry.
Before GTA, the definitive PS2 game was Tekken Tag.
Tekken Tag.
Launch title.
Crack.
It was a launch title.
Crack. That came out. Oh my God, I forgot.
2000.
Yeah, 2000. Tekken Tag was instrumental because there was never really, I mean, you had Marvel vs. Capcom and everything like that, but Tekken was always the opposite. There was no fireballs, no anything crazy. It was just strategy and fight and throw fists and and feet. So when you had Tag was instrumental because you really just beat the crap out of somebody in that game. And that, like, it was like you were skilled in that game. You were just
unless you were Eddie Gordo, you weren't needed to be skilled. Oh, yeah. Just butt mash, ball kicks. You could be blind to get some wins.
I win. That's all it was. So yeah, like a good Friday night in the backseat of a car. That's how you play as Eddie Gordo. Just randomly pushing your fingers, moving all over the place, hoping something good happens.
In the dark,
You know. But yeah, so Tekken itself was a great system. Yeah. Great game for the system because again that helped out like
it was a system seller for most of this.
And PS2 was also the first one to go online. So
Dreamcast.
No. I mean like
as far as fighting
as for PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
For the fighting game. Yeah. It actually made it like the first one to ever really kind of do that. So you were able to play people on Tekken across the world. Mm-hmm. And you had the little thing you had to buy and put on the back and everything like that.
Oh yeah, that little
yeah. So then successor Tekken 3. PlayStation 3 comes out.
Yep.
PlayStation 3 had a lot of good games. For me personally, it was built in. It didn't have the memory cards now. Everything was just built into the system. Because you had the memory cards. If you lost your memory card, you're screwed. And like you had to
back it up on another memory card.
Exactly. You had to back it up on another memory card. So then you had PlayStation 3, which had its own built-in stuff, which was really like top-notch. I still have one on the service.
You could put music and everything.
You put music in it, and it was so much fun. You could play music while you're playing games. You can play...
watch movies. Yeah, I think you could on the PS2 as well.
Yeah,
that's what we didn't mention about the PS2. It was Blu-ray. The first sort of multimedia kind of thing.
I forgot about that too. It was also the first multi Blu-ray system.
It was the cheap. No, PS2 was the first Blu-ray.
Yeah.
PS2 was the first DVD. It was the cheapest DVD player. That's
yes,
what
helped yes, yes, yes,
DVD
yes,
players
yes.
were like $300, $400.
Yeah.
They were the cheapest DVD player.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So kids were convincing their parents.
It was the DVD player then.
Kids were convincing their parents to get a PS2 because it had DVD players.
I convinced my mom to get, what's it called, one for herself. Because she was like, I want to watch all these DVDs. I was like, hey, just get a PlayStation 2 and you're good. Meanwhile, I have one when I go back home.
I will say, what I want to say about PlayStation 3, though, again, going back to serial killing, I just realized, I do have a problem.
Just tell us where the body. Just tell us where the bodies are.
It's not a problem as long as it stays in-game.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
If they flashed and disappear, you're good.
I learned about Call of Duty.
That's right. Call of Duty was like the first real one to come out. It was the first real first-person shooter to come out that
became big.
Big.
Everything else was like kind of fringe.
You had to be
like in the basement or somewhere if you knew about it with people that looked just like you. But now it's everyone played Call of Duty.
Everyone plays Call of Duty. And it kind of caught on from that system, which I totally respect.
They still do. Call of Duty is still actually pretty popular.
Yeah.
Oh, it's super popular.
And one game that I really like, what's it called? Oh, crap, I forgot the name of it. It's a Japanese game, obviously. it's the one where you fight all the demons with the sword.
Oh my God, are you talking about Diablo?
No, not Diablo. Diablo is fun.
Not Devil May Cry,
which was my next one. Yes.
Onimusha
was fantastic because
that was like on three. That was on like three systems. PS1, 2, and 3.
PS1, 2, and 3. But 3 was the one where it really caught a lot of notice because that's the one where you really kind of like. You fought like in a RPG style almost. Like you're just running back and forth and cutting people, which is really a great game because you actually like powered up your weapons and you had to go and like.
Was it turn based or real time?
Real time. It was real time, but it was so much fun. It was like the first real time game that was kind of like a strategy game that I ever played. I never really played it on 1 and 2, but I kind of found it on 3, and it was such a great game. What's the other one I was just going to say?
I said Devil May Cry. She said
Devil May Cry. Yes,
Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry. Awesome game that obviously PlayStation launched.
I had such a crush on the main guy,
Dante. Yeah,
loved him so much.
Now
you know they did a Devil May Cry movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's called Little Nicky. Mother's an angel, father's a demon.
Jesus Christ,
right?
That's good.
That was before even Devil May Cry came out.
And
remember when they did Devil May Cry 4? They changed Dante's. He had the little Nicky haircut, the little emo thing.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Yo, do you remember the one that they made that the Americans made? And it was like, there's an American one that they made, and it was really kind of fun. You play as a younger Dante before he becomes like, what's it called? It's like a prequel almost, but it's not. Yeah. It's his own title. So basically, like the music was fantastic on that game. Like great bands I still listen to on my phone today. But the thing was that like it was kind of off canon, and Dante had like black hair.
That's what I'm talking about. They gave him a little emo look.
They gave him the emo look.
But he could power up and it went white, right?
Yeah, he powered up and it go white. So I was like, okay. And in the beginning of the game, like he gets a wig that falls on his head. Like, I don't want that.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So that was like one of my favorite things about Devil May Cry because that was on 4, which we'll get to later. But 3, Devil May Cry was kind of like 2 and 3, PlayStation 2 and 3 were really kind of like instrumental for launching that game title, and it just really absolutely blew up. It was one of those few games that carried over from Japan that were like, wow, that game is really absolutely amazing. So,
do you want to know my PS3 game?
Go ahead.
Asu's Wrath.
Ooh. Screamer boy. I like it.
Yes, just full of rage. It's very, very, very fringe. Now, they kind of failed with it because... Remember you had to buy the real ending? That's what you had to do.
I don't even remember
The real ending was DLC.
Oh, yes.
You had to buy a DLC story, and it was the real ending. You fight God and punch him and take over.
You got to blow up a planet or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the people pray, and fake gods absorb their prayer energy. Yeah. It was like real crazy.
It's stupid. It's a very fun game for beat-em-ups,
but it's like just the way that you handle it.
What system was Dante's Inferno?
Dante's Inferno was PlayStation 4.
Do you remember that game?
Yes, that game was fantastic. Crazy. Where you go through hell.
And you had to fight Cleopatra Anthony, and she had the little demon babies come out of her boobs.
Yeah.
Like, you don't remember that?
No. Dude, that game
is... Oh my God, that game's fantastic. There was a demon babe, like Cleopatra, you fought her, she was huge. So you're like a tiny little character.
She's in hell for adultery,
and
basically.
You have to go through how many rings of hell?
13 stages of hell.
Like, there's so many different stages of hell.
9 stages of hell, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Cleopatra was for lust.
Yeah.
And when you fought her, you fought Mark Anthony, and he was on the ground with you, and she's up there dropping babies out of her tits.
So they do and like they the seven like deadly sins or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not seven deadly sins, but it's the different levels of hell.
This ninth circle of hell.
Yeah.
Ninth circles, there you go. I thought it was 13 for some reason.
Because, 13. Yeah. But that game sticks with me. Because it was like, I don't know. It wasn't so popular, but I remember playing it. Well, I wasn't playing it. My brother was playing it. And I just remember being like the graphics were great. The storyline was great. Yeah. And it was like kind of perverse. And I liked that.
I know.
I was like, yeah.
Big old babies.
And then they had the demon girls that had like this huge slit that went up their body. And their tongue came out of their vagina.
Oh, wow.
Giant goodness.
Yeah. It
it's
was,
violent.
It
was, it's crazy.
Yeah. Perverted.
Like, all right.
I like it.
So in this game.
Moving on to the more obscure system, which was a fun system. But for me, it never really, because as I got older. No. PSP, I'm not going to talk about. That's garbage.
What was obscure?
PlayStation 4.
Was obscure.
I love that PlayStation.
How is that obscure?
Let me finish. There weren't many definitive games that came out.
Oh, yes.
Because there were so many other games from the past, from 2, 3, and 1.
Like remakes.
Yeah, and remakes and everything, and re-releases and sequels and everything like that.
It's a low-key retro system.
It is. It is, because it was a nostalgia system for me. Like, you had Mortal Kombat. You had, like, some great games. But at the same time, like, you had Mortal Kombat 9, Mortal Kombat X, and that it was fun.
I can't think of any series that started on a 4.
It never really started on the 4. But I love the 4. We both had the 4. We got the big system, and then remember when we were Gleasons, we had the freaking
slim. I got the slim one. Yeah.
I remember both of us going like, I'm going to get the slim one. Why? Yeah. I don't know.
I needed the slim model.
Yeah, because a lot of people, because you had to lay it down, and then set it up.
I got the slim model of every PlayStation system. Yeah. I ended up getting the slim model.
Yeah, so it was really kind of weird for me for the PlayStation 4, because, like, again, there was just really, like, what's it called? Now, one game I want to mention that came back on systems after systems was Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, which I purchased a few years ago.
Yeah,
still
fun game. They kind of like Japanese the hell out of it.
Started out on PS2. Yeah.
Started out on PS2, 3, title. Exactly. Started out on 3 and then moved up to 4. And Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts 3 was absolute trash. Because I understood the story.
I didn't start it yet.
Honestly. Here's the thing. The thing about 3, and if anybody's still playing it, I'm sorry. 3 was a good game. But it was a horrible story. The reason why it was just basically like the same exact thing that happens in the other ones, and it's complete and total trash.
Is that when they took out the other Square characters? Because remember, 1 and 2 had like Cloud and everyone?
Yes.
So they took them out of 3.
They took them out of 3, and it was like the story just became so Japanese about friendship and honor and all this other stuff.
That's a good story.
No, it was bad.
How dare you make a story about friendship and honor?
Exactly.
We want to hate.
But here's the thing, though.
There's no death?
There were some good, like, add-on games. You like levels. You had like Toy Story. You had Tron and everything like that.
Oh,
so it was a good. It was a good amount of good new ones. But they also had Aladdin. They had The Little Mermaid. I'm like, I already played these levels. So why are we going back to this? And I get you're trying to get the nostalgia for the people who are new to the system. But at the same time, it's like I already played these levels. And you're playing Hercules, the Colosseum, and I'm like, dude, there's so much more material that you could have gone.
We don't talk bad about Hercules.
I know, right?
Hercules.
But that's my point, and I just wanted to get to that one little story.
Because you hate Japanese stories?
I hate Japanese stories. I hate when they Japanese up stuff. It's like,
I hate friendship.
He hates friendship. What friendship do you have against friendship?
Friendship and love, and then like some like dreamy stuff happens, and then everything falls apart. The guy kidnaps his girlfriend, kills her, and then he goes and gives her a lecture about like...
In Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
What? That's right up your alley.
Well, not Ansem. What's his name? The end boss guy basically kidnaps his girl, kills her, and he just sits there and gives him a lecture like, okay, I won't be bad anymore. And I'm like, dude.
That works.
Come on.
We're going for an eye for an eye here.
Yeah. Dude, you just took my girl, bro. Let's not knock it off.
Lectures work.
PlayStation 4, what game really sticks out to you guys?
I'm out on this one. I can't remember anything.
I still have my PlayStation 4, and I'm very proud of it. Call of Duty, there's the Black Ops.
Yeah, Black Ops is all. I'm not a big first-person shooter game, so.
Okay, so there's, I like really weird games, you guys. So there's a game called Spelunky. don't know if anybody's ever played it, but you have to literally, you're this little character and you have to spelunk through a dungeon and collect things, and you have to save either a princess or a
dog. Is it like, oh, a little thing about. Like a leaf? Like a leaf?
No, no, no. You're like hitting character? The bottom stuff below you or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you get like different types of weapons and stuff. You have to make it. It was one of those free to play
games. Why did I just think of Plinko?
It was a free to play.
Yeah, no, me too.
No,
ding,
I think ding, I ding, ding, ding. But you have to make, and there's so many different levels, and it's so fun. It's like so.
Spelunky. I like to say that. Spelunky.
Yeah, Spelunky.
I love that.
like the name of your cat, Spelunky.
Spelunky.
Come here, Spelunky.
That's where I learned what spelunking was. I never knew what spelunking was.
I learned about spelunking from the Christopher Nolan Batman series.
I learned it from the streets.
Says you want to go spelunking. When you tell him about the suit.
PlayStation 4.
You want to know the first game I brought for 4?
What?
You're not going to like it because you're a Mega Man fan. What? Mighty No. 9.
I love that game.
Me too.
I love that game.
Good.
Oh, my God. I love that game so much.
Because we didn't spend money for the, crowdfunding thing.
Yeah, it was a crowdfunding.
We didn't pay any of crowdfunding. We just bought it for $20 and got everything.
Exactly.
We didn't invest.
Exactly. We invested in the product. But that's what that game was really fun.
I liked it.
The end boss was a pain in the goddamn ass.
The end boss.
The end boss is like the
all of the bosses are pain because I can't beat nobody now.
I think I deleted the game and then was like, no, I'm not giving up. And then I went back like a year or two later and then finally beat the boss like the first try. I was like, wait, that was way too easy. So like it was the ending boss. You have to hit like precisely and you cannot miss. Otherwise you die. And it's like a really, really hard. That's like one of the hardest bosses I ever played in my life. So Mighty No. 9. That was a great game.
And I also bought, it was King of Fighters 14 because it came in a special little case, case.
Yep.
I bought it out of anger because I was disappointed in Street Fighter 5. Remember the launch?
Street Fighter 5 sucked.
By the end, it was good once they added all the DLC and stuff.
You just
bought it for like $20 and you got everything. Yeah. But like in the beginning, it was like a few characters, no story, no nothing. So I was like, I don't want this. Then I seen, King of Fighters.
Anything after Bison.
50 characters, and it's $40.
Anything after Bison is horrible. I'm sorry. Yes. They should just keep Bison in the game.
Keep bringing him back.
But you know what happens when
he dies and they bring him back?
Well, you know what happened in Street Fighter 2, right?
Oh, he gets Rose's body or something like that?
No, what happens is that kills
him.
Akuma kills him. Yeah.
And then he has to get a new body.
So he goes into Rose, but Rose is that body, apparently. Yes. So now he goes back and tries to steal another body.
Because that was tried to explain why he's fat and alpha and skinny in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Just say, different art styles. Like, they had to really come up with a canon reason.
I love M. Bison in the live-action one.
Oh, Raul Julia.
Raul Julia.
Yes. He took that role because of his kids was such a fan.
Yes. And that was one of his really
big...
One of his last films. He did another film afterwards, but released like 3 years later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with our good friend Natalia. She's going to talk about beekeeping, which is going to be a really awesome subject. Here is a ad for our next show, AWWA in good old Arizona, great sponsor of the show. Here is the commercial for June 27th. Well, I'll be wrestling for the
AWWA. Doing all right. Can I get a holla, holla, holla?
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the show June 27th in good old Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be flying out there, having a good time. Now it's time for the interview part. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Natalia does something. What?
No, are you doing the point to her?
Are you doing the
outsiders?
Outsiders
from
point.
Are we going to turn into
fusion? Yeah, fusion. I like it. Why is it on tape right now? Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
That would be a weird fusion.
There you go.
And then if your finger's slightly off, you turn either fat or skinny.
Exactly. Or dead. Whatever. Or Yamcha.
The mix of My Hero Academia, and they put the dog and the daughter together.
What?
The T-shirt.
Oh no! That's not My Hero Academia. That's
wait, I know you're talking about
My Hero Academia. Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist. Yes.
They put the
that cracked me up.
Did you see that meme?
Oh my god, I love that meme. I love that meme.
I didn't see it. I have to look at it.
I'll send it to you. It's awesome. So they look so excited.
Yeah, like, it's the dog and the daughter that he turned into the Chimera, and they're doing the move from Gohan.
Yes. Goten. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Natalia here has a very cool thing that she does for her own interest. And go get the stuff.
Oh, yes.
Would you have it?
I'll do stuff. Yeah.
So, here's the thing. Beekeeping is a wonderful talent that people do. And it takes a lot of patience. Because you got to remember, you might get stung. And I'm pretty sure she got stung a lot. We're going to talk about that a lot.
So, she might have powers.
Yeah. So, she might have bee powers.
So, this is not my candy.
I thought you were going to say bees were inside there.
Bee candy.
It's for them to eat?
Release the bees.
Release the bees.
Imagine I just came in, I just opened it, I go, release the bees.
Why are we, oh my God, I'm getting stabbed.
Yes. Or release the hounds with bees in their mouth. When they bark, they shoot bees at you.
Yeah.
No, this is just to keep on par with, like,
I thought the bees ate this.
No. This is just candy for you guys. It was just to keep on par with the theme.
Atiba, stop stealing stuff.
And this is
Atiba, no swiping.
This is my honey from my hive.
Yes.
So the jar.
Showed up to the camera. Showed up to the camera.
This is not a label. This is not my label. Yeah. So I only harvested one batch of honey. I did 20 pounds for 4 frames. And it's like a nice amber color. So if you ever go to the supermarket and you want to find out if you have adulterated honey or not, you turn it upside down, and then if the bubble goes slowly, then it's real honey. But more often than not, it's adulterated, meaning that they mixed it with like high fructose corn syrup or something. Gotcha.
So the thing to avoid is a lot of bubble or no bubble?
These are delicious, by the way.
Slow bubble.
A slow bubble means good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want a slow bubble. You
gotcha. If it's a fast bubble,
you don't
bubble,
want it to move through.
Fast, because it will ward down.
I brought the straws because I couldn't find anything. For.
That's fine.
We're going to snort. We're going to snort it. Boy, you're hanging out with me. We're going to snort it.
Okay, you guys, this is a family show.
Sorry.
We're going to get high like bees.
Exactly.
Do you make candies too?
Is no.
These are she bought.
Make,
but these,
I will make candies.
She's, but this is something that she brought for us. That's
but
awesome.
I just brought but you're more than welcome to crack this open.
Oh, I remember these.
And try it.
So tell me.
So this is my honey from my hive.
Ooh. So tell me, when did you get interested in doing this whole harvesting of bees? When was the interest? When was like the moment you went, oh, I can do this?
I went and worked on a farm for a month in Louisiana.
How long ago was this?
This was May, the entire month of May in 2023.
Okay, so it was recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to the farm. My friend owns 27 acres in Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
I would do a little plug. Sincerely, Snow White Sanctuary.
There you go.
And she had beehives. So we were on our way out to go to Houston to go to the aquarium. And all of a sudden, she comes running in the house and she's like, honey, the bees are swarming. And I'm like, what is that? Because I hadn't met the bees yet. I was too busy. I was working with the goat.
I haven't met the bees yet.
I'm like, where's the queen? I'm going to meet the queen. So she's like, they're swarming. It's swarm season. So what happens in April, May, and you'll see it in New York City where they swarm up on a lamppost or something.
It did recently. Actually, it was in the news. They actually did by the city. Yeah, there was a big, shutdown. That has shut down an entire intersection.
I never got to
in
see
the city.
A swarm before.
Yeah, so they're actually docile.
Okay.
When they're swarming, they're like, you can literally take your hand and stick it right in and they won't sting you.
What's the purpose of the swarming?
The swarming is they're going to look out. They're looking for a new place to live.
So it's like kind of like a, hey, listen, our old home is in danger?
It's full. Like they're splitting.
Oh, they're moving out.
So they're splitting. When they split, they decide where they send the drones out. The drones are the males.
Yeah.
Because there's males and females. So the drones are a little bigger and they have the compound eyes. They don't have a stinger.
Okay.
And they go and they look for a new place to live. So they'll go and look for inside holes in trees, in little crawl spaces, in the attic. Like they'll never, like they don't create their own hive. So like the Pooh Bear honey hive, honey, that's not real.
Okay.
and they'll go look for a new place to live. In the meantime, the when they split, the girls will go and fly to a nearby area, like low-hanging typically,
okay.
and wait for the information to come back where to go next.
Okay.
And then what will happen is they'll go to their new location and they will re-queen. They will make a new queen because they decide.
Now, this is the thing. Isn't it true? I heard this. I was researching this. A female bee will eat a whole bunch of like special jelly or something like that.
And they make it in the cheeks.
And they make it in the cheeks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the and royal
they,
jelly.
And the royal jelly. And then they become queens.
And they give it to one baby.
Yes, they give it to one baby.
They
there
give
you
it
go,
to
yes.
One baby. And the baby becomes the queen?
Yes,
the
baby becomes
yeah,
the queen.
Who decides, like, what
it's
baby?
Just, it's a thing.
It's the collective.
Yeah. They literally...
democracy.
Basically, it's a, bureaucracy.
It's a matriarch.
Yeah.
The girls run the show.
Yep.
They run the show.
So I think, like, the queen kind of designates, all right, this one's going to become, like, a queen. Give her the jelly. They take her out to the new location, and then they give her it to her, right?
No. They give it to her in the new hive.
In the new hive before they leave.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's why. I don't remember that
part. Like, a Disney movie.
Isn't
be
it?
Characters, yeah. And that's how you choose. And this sounds like a good story.
Yeah. So they... Yeah. So
the, what's it called? Kind of did it.
The Bee Movie.
B Movie. Seinfeld.
What happened?
Everything's
falling.
Oh, no.
Life is over as we know it.
Your phone's down, too.
It's okay. Oh.
All right, Tim, you just unplugged yourself.
I unplugged myself.
I can still hear you.
I know, but it hits his headphones.
Now I can hear everyone.
Oh, the mic. Got it.
So they'll split. And then they'll go to the next location and they'll decide who's going to be the queen. And then they're like, it's a brand new hive. So the previous hives had 3,000 bees.
Yep.
And then now we have 1,500 bees on their way out, moving somewhere else. And that's just for space issues. Like we don't have enough space.
Like the kids
here.
Grew up and moved out.
Yeah, basically.
Basically, that's exactly what it is. Because they make so many drones to go out and search for honey and plants and they pollinate and all that other stuff.
Well, the girls do that.
Yeah, I'm saying. But even still, like they go out, pollinate, and then they come back and then they just grow the hive. And unfortunately, some places, a lot of big places that I learned was that... abandoned houses are great for bees.
Oh, they love it.
Because it's just never ending. They can build inside of walls.
In the wall.
It's where I got stung as a kid, playing in an abandoned house.
Yeah, exactly.
Stung like in a back or something.
Because if you go to an abandoned house, especially down south, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like condemned houses. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever going to buy it. So it just gets filled up with bees. Mm-hmm. So it's become like people will actually go in there and actually like make a house into a bee thing. And then I've seen that before. I looked it up and I was like, people will
That's amazing.
They'll take an abandoned house. They know no one's in there. They'll fence it up and then just make it into a hive.
Wow.
And then they sell it. Cause imagine all the honey that you get.
Oh, it's
like,
huge.
What is it? Like a 5 foot by 2 foot. It's like enough to make like about like 10 pounds of honey or something.
Well,
like
when I harvested my honey in April, because one of my hives died, I had three.
Yeah.
And one of them didn't make it over the winter. It comes with 10 frames, and the frames are like a foot long, and they're like 5 inches deep.
Oh, so also, when you have a frame, we're talking about like the actual, like you can buy them and you can make your own hive by certain dimensions and everything like that. That's what she's talking about when she says.
Yeah, so.
Not an actual one, because I was talking about the actual space. Like they usually keep them within a certain size.
Yeah.
But in harvesting, you guys buy these little boxes.
Well, they're boxes. So they call the deeps and the supers.
Yes.
So the deeps are the big ones that are deeper.
Yeah.
And then the supers are thinner. And then you would put a queen extruder in between to keep the queen below so she doesn't lay in the eggs over there.
Yep.
And it's just honey up top.
Yep.
So then that's just profit. Like,
because
what we're doing as beekeepers is we're not taking, because that's their food over the winter. We're not taking when they need it. We're taking when they make excess. Because they're going to do it either way.
Yeah.
And that's where there's this big like thing between vegans. Like, we don't eat anything with eyes. They're going to make it whether you hold on to them or not. So they're going to do it in a tree, in a lamppost. They're going to do it with or without. You.
So the best part is just organize it, make a profit out of it, and make something
leftover
you can share
honey
with
regardless.
Yeah.
And the best part is you're also doing what? You're helping make bees.
And we need bees.
And bees were
bees
were actually like endangered for not endangered, but they were like having a lot of problems with like, you know, their numbers because like what was it? It was like the climate change or something like that, they said. It was something
just
weird.
The chemicals.
They're spraying
aluminum in the sky and the pesticides. And so like, for example, if you ever come across someone and they're like, it's organic honey. They're lying to you.
It's not.
Because honey, bees fly in a 2 mile radius from where their hive is. So you would have to make sure that every single farm property has not sprayed their flowers with pesticides.
Yep.
And that's impossible unless you own that 2 miles of radius around you.
I have learned so much.
You know what I mean?
And also, what is the natural makeup and designation for making honey from bees? How do they do it?
I'm not sure.
it's throw up.
So no, they regurgitated. Well, yes, I was gonna say that was the long short of it.
Yeah,
but
it's regurgitated.
So it's basically bee spit. That's what I call it. Yeah. But there are phases to it. So if,
that's why they collect the pollen to help make
so
it.
So they have I call it the pants.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They go into shake the pants and they have the pollen on their pants and they go back into the hive and then they take that to help create the honey, but also sometimes they take that powder from the pollen and they stuff it. And you'll see different colors of pollen. And that's, have you ever seen bee pollen where people take little speckles and like sprinkle it into little yogurt and stuff?
Oh, yes, I had some.
Because it's unbroken down.
It's like a mustard color kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of looks like the candy that you actually brought.
The candy's delicious.
Not those, the other ones, the peelable ones.
The little lychees. Oh,
because it looks like yellow, like dark yellow inside of a mustard color. Yes.
Because I brought some in like a jar from somewhere.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, and that's actually really good for your allergies. So if ever you're having seasonal allergies, you would buy honey from like me and
if people did want to buy honey from you, where could they go?
That was one of my questions.
So you can I'm gonna be harvesting soon, so I have about 100-pound hive that I have to
100-pound hive. I wouldn't sleep at night.
It's so there's so much honey in this thing. It's daunting because I just harvested 20 pounds from 4 frames, and you have to see the video. Me and my stepdad are in the basement and we're like
do you have a video?
Yes.
Okay, good. Watch this, ready? This is a few people part of doing my show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at that whole entire honey harvesting right here.
But, and you guys, we got to heat it up.
I'm just cold.
Oh, you just show it. Here we go. Spin. Hold it close.
Hold on. Let me hold it?
Yeah, no, go spin. You want to spin?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, spin. I'll hold it. So much honey. I think, let's check the frames. Because there's still a lot of heat emanating from it.
Yeah. And you notice it's not coming out.
Well, no, because it's super thick.
You're going to have to stop it sooner or later. Yeah, let it go more. Let it go
more. Let it go?
Yeah. I think the weight is what's pushing it down.
Yeah, but we're going to have to blow it with that thing. Make it liquidy, more liquidy, so it'll go through.
I'm going to hold it right here. You can get the blower.
Isn't that crazy,
that
right?
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, that's, right?
Yeah, it was work. It was work, but it was so positive because my grandmother was there and my family, like, they all helped. And it's funny because I kind of started.
So your hive is near your house?
My hive is in my backyard.
Oh, yep. It's in your backyard.
It's in my backyard.
And that's the funny thing that people do. It's very interesting. They'll actually keep it on their property because bees are not territorial. Honeybees are not territorial at all. It's the other ones that you got to be careful of. Yeah. Those are like.
What other ones?
Well, the other ones. So you got your wasps and your hornets.
Oh, the murder hornets.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about mortar hornets.
I did it again.
What'd you do?
I knocked this over again.
Knocked what over?
I'm fine.
Right. So anyway, the whole thing about mortar hornets, do you know why they call them murder hornets, right? Because they kill honeybees.
Oh.
Yeah.
Murder them.
They'll get inside the hive. And I caught some going in to try to live because in the winter.
Do they eat the bees or do they just take their honey?
They'll kill them. But what happens is the girls will gang up on them too.
And that's when they overheat? That's when they come in and they overheat them.
They'll overheat them. They'll flap their wings really fast. And then they do that to queens too. If they're not pumping out babies, we decide as a collective to kill you.
Oh, they overthrow the queen.
Yep. They overthrow the queen. Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
Because the worker bees,
I like
the girls,
their political system. Exactly. We need that here.
Yeah, the girls.
I promise you more babies.
The girls run the show.
Yeah.
Girls
we need presidential jelly.
Exactly, presidential jelly.
Right? We all decide and we just...
If he doesn't deliver on his promises, we all gang pile him and then murder him.
That's it. We jump him out.
Yeah, we jump him out of the White House.
Exactly. So tell me, now you're in Louisiana.
So I'm in Louisiana.
Do you help your friend out?
So she's like, they're swarming, and there's two, they split twice because she had two hives.
Yeah.
So one of them are hanging on a low branch, and I'm excited, a little too enthusiastic for someone who has no experience with bees. And I go out and I bring we bring the stool and I'm like this with this swarm and it's hanging off of the tree.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I think I see the queen. And I go, like yeah, nothing.
You can 100% do that. Yep.
But I didn't know. I've only seen it online.
You never touched the queen.
I had only seen it online, and I was so enthusiastic. I was like, ooh. And then it was a success.
Yeah.
And in that moment, all their little bodies buzzing, so much energy, so powerful.
So harmonizing.
Oh my God, let me tell you, it was life changing.
Yeah.
And it was just like every tiny little body meant so much to me in that moment. Yeah. And I've never felt so much gratitude for like just everything was just perfect at that moment. And I was like, I love this so much.
I love all you guys.
I love you. And I tell my girls that every day. Yeah. I'm like, I love you guys. And just, they're just so powerful. And in that moment, I was like, I'm going to do this.
Good.
And then we got a box, put lemongrass oil on it. And
so here,
what is a lemongrass oil?
That's lemongrass oil mimics the scent of the queen.
So what happens is they'll sit there and stay there and they won't leave thinking that the
queen. Well, they'll march in the box. Yeah, because you'll see them online in videos where they'll march in the box.
They'll march in the box. And what happens is they won't leave, which is the major thing, because otherwise they think there's no queen here.
So they think the queen's in there. But more often than not, when you shake the swarm, she'll fall in.
Yeah.
And they'll follow suit anyway. But the lemongrass oil is like good insurance because you want to just. I walked away for an hour and came back and they were all in the box and then we just went and put it back in the
house. So here's what I want to ask you. How did you get these materials? Did you go online and get them? Or
I ordered my first boxes off of Amazon.
Tell me what you ordered.
I ordered a beekeeping starter kit.
Okay, so they actually have like a bee starter kit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I did that and then actually about not even 10 minutes from me, there's a bee store called That Honey Spot in Fords, New Jersey. And it also sounds
like a sex shop, but that's I'm sorry.
It's called That Honey Spot. And they sell all the boxes, all the suits. They sell shoes. They sell candy. They sell honey. They sell rubs that you could put on your food.
That's awesome.
Like Grant Stiles, the guy who owns the place, he's been beekeeping for over 50 years. He has over 200 hives in South Jersey somewhere.
So quick question. Does...
Like I learned a lot from him too. He's fantastic.
Does he classes?
Yes, he does.
That's awesome.
Yes, he does. And I went to a beekeeping class of his last year, May, for like just like starting up hives and whatnot. And then they had a harvesting one that I missed in July, which is fine.
But
I learned. So the thing about beekeeping is in preparation. So I did May 2023. I was on the farm. I missed my nuke season. So nuke season's April. And a nuke hive is when they give you one queen with 3 pounds of bees.
Okay.
So it's a box with 5 frames in it.
Okay.
So I missed that season when I came back to New York.
And what would be this, like, if you're going to start this during the time of year, right? When is the, pre-prep season? And then when does the season start?
Like April.
That's the prep season?
No, so, I just got my bees in April.
Okay, say April.
Well, I bought the boxes March.
Okay.
And I got everything set up. Yeah, so I got all my like little area set up in the back for them.
Because everything else prior up here in the northern states, it's too cold, I'm guessing.
Exactly. So they have to winterize them and everything.
Gotcha.
So April, so when I got back in 2023, June 23, I missed the season for getting the new hive. So I did a bunch of reading and research and I bought a bunch of books. Mm. And let me tell you, those books were useless.
I was like, plug the books. Like,
it's not that they sucked. The only way that you can learn is like, hands-on thing.
That's
you
what I was feeling,
just do it.
So basically what you're saying is buy a bunch of books for a bunch of idiots who don't know what they're doing, and then you make money.
And even, if
that's
you
where you make the sweet like, stuff.
You'll talk to another beekeeper, and another beekeeper might watch this and be like, she's full of it. Everybody does it a little differently.
Okay.
And
because I feel like that is kind of true. If you really think about it, it would be like your space that you have versus, you know, how much land do you have, what you're trying to get, you know, like how much attention you put into it, how much you do, how much you don't do, you know?
Some people, like, I consider myself like a low-maintenance beekeeper. But some people don't even check on them. Some people will literally
go
a year and they're like, oh, okay, they're here. We're going to time to harvest and make some room for you guys. Or they swarmed. Let's put another box out for them.
Okay.
But me, I check on my girls semi-regularly. Like on the weekends, I go out there with my cup of coffee in the morning. I'm like, hey, girls, how are you? And I sit, I talk to them. Yeah, I do. I talk to them and I play music. If you watch me on Instagram, you'll see me hanging out with them all the time and I'm talking and I'm like, well, we're feeding them the sugar.
So if that Instagram, what would that name of that Instagram be?
It's at @NASKII__.
Nasky.
At nasky.com.
It's going to be right here.
I think that we should all try your honey.
Absolutely. Yes. This is for you guys.
So all right, put it right here. Put
now,
it right here.
I am a big, big, big honey fan. Like a really big honey fan.
No double dipping either, you monster.
Don't blow bubbles in it either. No blowing bubbles.
I don't care if he's back in town. All right, everyone put your straws in. Everyone put your straws in.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, you just put your straws in.
I can get little spoons. Yeah. And also, whenever
I'm sure the thing from the Honey Nut Cheerios commercial, that stick with the little thing.
Yeah.
Also, whenever you're eating honey, never use a metal spoon.
Why?
Because there's health benefits to it, and the metal cancels it out.
What?
Yep. Okay. Ready? At the same time. Ready? Ready?
Cheers.
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 Yay. Let it not drip.
Ready on me. Ready? One, two. All right, now
yeah, yeah. It's dripping everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're still dripping.
Mmm.
So that's from Jersey,
across the Outer Bridge. The real stuff,
pure. That's right there.
That grade A. Hey,
what's the name that you call this again?
Honey?
No, I mean, if you were going to put your own label.
Name?
Bee juice.
Jizz.
Bee jizz?
Bee jizz.
Family show, how many times do I have to say that?
Sorry.
Bee puke?
So
he's gonna
Before I even got a chance to sell my 20 pounds back in April, my mom was like, Nasky honey. And I was like, sure. And I got people making
that's
labels
really for me.
So it's like, and I have a label and everything I'm going to print this time around, and I'm just going to sell it. Cause I had people coming to my house to buy honey.
And I believe this is really good honey. And one of my other friends does honey too. And she makes great honey too. This is up there with some, I mean, this is like. And the thing is, like, I hate store quality because, like, again, it has high fructose corn syrup, which this does not actually. So if you notice,
I like when you can test the rough part of it.
Put the lid back on. Put the lid back on.
It's wax. Yeah, there's wax in there.
So watch. Put the lid back on.
I only process it once.
Ready? Now, tell me what you told me at the beginning of the show with the whole upside down part.
So if you turn it upside down and see how it's amber colored, there's going to be a bubble. If the bubble goes up slowly, it's not adulterated. If it goes up fast, then it's probably adulterated with high fructose corn syrup.
So remember that. It's the bubble is bad. The bubble is bad. No bubble is good. So it's got to take its time to go up there, which means it's all natural.
Yeah. You want it to move
pure
slowly.
Unadulterated honey.
Pure exactly. Unadulterated honey.
Unadulterated honey.
Sounds a little bit like adultery every time like we say it. I will say, I have
cheat.
To give you a big compliment because I eat a lot of honey. I absolutely love honey.
Client. She got
my,
a client.
My, yes. You have a client. Aww. You have a family of clients.
I'm going to dress like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I'm right over the bridge too.
So I love Manuka honey. I don't know if that rings a bell. Mm-hmm.
What's
this
Manuka?
This tastes like that. Manuka's like, interesting. I don't know, maybe can you explain what Manuka is?
I think it's like just a different kind of honey,
it's
honestly.
Very expensive.
It is super expensive.
It's supposed to have like a lot
of different like actual types in
they have clove honey, they have orange blossom honey. Yeah. It depends on what flora and fauna is around.
Oh, okay, that makes
from
sense.
The flowers.
Remember she said about it, like they go for like a 2 mile radius?
Yeah.
They'll get flowers from all over. Now some people, what they'll do is they'll buy land and have a lot of flowers around them so that they go to those specific flowers.
Like a specific one so you can get a
they want to
be consistent, I guess.
Flower,
So speaking, if we can go back to adultery for a second. With the bees.
Yeah.
Isn't it true that once a bee mates, the male dies?
Yeah, their balls explode and they die.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know that's how it happened.
Yeah,
that's,
they die.
Yeah. Balls. Yeah, they do. They used to after.
I mean, I think the scientific term would be gonads.
Yes. Yeah, gonads.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just die. That's it.
Yeah. And they have the mating flight with the queen, and that's the one time that she goes out and flies.
Yep.
And then they do the mating flight.
So who mates with the queens? What's their name?
The drones.
Oh, it's the drones. So the drones have like lots of jobs.
No.
Oh, what's their main job?
Their job is to mate with the queen, and then they will scout out new places to live.
Not in that order, because they die afterwards.
But then in the winter, this is interesting, when the fall comes, the girls kick them out of the hive, and they drag them out.
Yep.
Oh. I've seen it, and they're like dragging them out, and they're fighting to get back in, and they won't let them back in.
Happened to me several times.
And they do it because there's not enough honey for them.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there, because the population's going to diminish. So bees only live for 40 days.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
which is literally the story of women and children first.
Yeah.
Because that's where they actually got it from was from bees. Because the whole thing was that like the children and the larvae and the women. Always needed to survive.
To keep the legacy going. But throughout the winter, you're going to have bees that are dying and bees that are being born. So she's still laying.
Yep.
She's laying throughout the winter. Yep.
So it's going to be.
And they're feeding her, they're feeding the babies, they're feeding themselves.
Yep.
So that food's for everybody. And then they're dying. And then they have the the morgue bees, which take the dead bodies yep. out. And they drag them out of the hive. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, every bee every has a job.
Is that their only job, the morgue bees?
No, they're multifaceted. Because okay. I'll interrupt them, and you'll see one guy was working hard on something, and then he'll be like,
what?
Right. And then he'll go to do something else. Yeah.
It's like it's like Sims.
Yeah,
like Sims.
Bee
Undertaker.
Like,
yeah. Yo, imagine bees are just like flying around and like, you know, the whole stinger story. Like if they sting something, they die instantly. But like, imagine that, like, hey, anybody see Steve? I'm like, yeah, he looked like he lost a lot of weight. I don't know what happened. It's like, yeah, I heard he stung somebody. Like, really? It's like, I heard Steve died.
But does it depend on what they sting? That
no.
No. About? So the whole sack comes out. Their stinger is a corkscrew.
Yep.
So when they sting, it goes quick.
Yeah,
and then unless they can unscrew themselves, they're going to get disemboweled.
Fly off and get ripped.
It's their lower intestines that gets disemboweled.
It's like a little kamikaze right attack. Out.
Wait a minute. Yeah, lower intestine. So how do they poop after they lose their stinger?
They don't die.
They get ripped out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Death.
Death stops them from pooping. These bees are dedicated to the cause.
They are.
You will never forget your first bee sting.
Exactly.
I still remember being 10 years old and my first bee sting in my knee because I swung at him because he just freaked me out. And he stung me right in my knee and I cried. You know what to be funny is I don't even remember if it really hurt. I think I was just like a big pussy.
Maybe you were shocked.
Yeah.
This new thing.
Really shocked.
Yeah.
Like, what is this happening to me?
And I think the stinger was still like in.
Stingers stay in. That's how the venom pumps out.
And you can't. So you scratch it off with a credit card. You never pull with a tweezer because then you're just going to push the venom deeper into your skin.
Well, I might have done that.
Yeah.
I had a whole blown
you got
to
squeeze.
It's like a straw,
it squeezes the sack or something and it goes in.
Yeah.
Like
so like you don't want to grab the edge. You want to scratch it off.
So first bee sting, I was in my babysitter friend's backyard. I was wearing flip-flops and I smacked one down because it came right at my face. It was bzzz, and I went smack and I didn't know where it went. It went in between my flip-flop and my foot and it stung me.
Yep.
My middle toe.
You did a last stand on your ass.
Exactly. Basically it did. The stinger got stuck in mosquito.
Oh,
skater.
I thought I was going to say,
no, so what happened was...
I'd release the bees.
If you smacked a bee in front of Natalia here, that would be really... That would be really disrespectful.
It wasn't what it looked like.
Imagine if I was like,
She felt it. She felt it. No, so anyway, so I smack it. It falls down in between my slipper and my foot, my flip-flop and my foot, and it stings me. To this day, my middle toe and my index, my pointer toe, are somewhat webbed because of it. They're like, it's really messed up.
I call BS.
I'll show you
that.
Right now.
Yes.
I'll show you afterwards. I'll show you afterwards.
Yes. She called bees on
it. I'll show you afterwards.
BS.
I'll show you afterwards. It's true. Go ahead. First bee sting. Go.
So you got webbed feet now?
No.
You're a little mutant.
You're a mutant.
I know, right? It's my mutant villain.
It's a radioactive bee. That's what it was.
Exactly.
So,
Charles Xavier found me afterwards.
My first bee sting was, I think, when I started getting the bees. Like, and
really?
Because I hadn't been stung.
So that's why I had a funny thing with Gabby with that, where because she didn't know she was allergic to bees because she never got stung by a bee. And then she got stung by a bee in our backyard and she was like, uh oh.
Maybe I'm allergic.
Cold like, water.
I know, but I was like,
what is the cold water?
That's what I did. I was
throw
like,
her in the tub.
Yeah, I was like,
throw her in the tub.
What does that do?
The cold water helps mitigate any anaphylaxis if it comes on.
So what's it called? She was like, I think I'm okay. And she was okay eventually. Yeah. But yeah, I put her hand in a cup of cold water. We had like a measuring cup.
Mm-hmm.
I just filled it with ice and just put her hand in. I was like, do not move your freaking finger outside of this.
Yeah.
So first bee sting.
When I got them, they stung me and like I got stung on the hands. I got stung in the last one. I got stung in the face in August of last year.
Okay.
They just got me a few weeks ago on my middle finger. My first sting of the season.
Yeah.
Flipping the birds.
Yeah. I'm just like, and I was trying to save her. She was like in Bee Beach. Because I have what I call Bee Beach, which is their watering system where they can drink water. And sometimes they fall in. So I'll pick them up and I'll put them in the front and then the girls start cleaning them because they're wet.
Yeah.
And she was like about to fall off again. And I was like, girl. And I was like pushing her on, and I saw that she like committed to stinging me. And she And I was like, "Mama,
now she's dead.
You're
so,
done. You're done.
Whatever. All right.
I hope you're proud.
Yeah. First bee sting.
Elementary school. It was that little metal bar where you're sliding your tray across.
It
was a bee there, so I thought I cut my hand on something. And there was no cut, and then I realized, it's a bee. It started to like swell up a little bit. It was in between the fingers right here.
Oh, that's so
I was like, what was that?
Betwixt.
The bee venom is actually good for arthritis.
What?
Really?
Yep. People do like bee stinging therapy, and they kamikaze these girls for their own selfish needs of having arthritis.
That's morbid.
Does that sting in the spot or?
Yeah, you want to put it in the spot that you have the arthritis. Wow. So yeah, there was this woman on My Strange Addiction. She had rheumatoid arthritis and she was stinging herself, but it became an addiction. She was just like,
she just liked the stings.
Yeah, yeah. And for me,
arthritis was cured. She just
the stings. And then she grew wings.
For me, in the beginning, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to get any senses from them. And I was like, maybe I'll become a really good dancer.
You be dance.
Because they communicate via dancing. Yeah, and I was just like, maybe like, oh, wow. But I feel like I would, if I had like gotten power from my bees, I'd be like, release the bees.
Yeah,
exactly. And then it'd be like,
feel like psychically linked to the bees.
Yeah. I'd be like,
you can see what they see.
Was it like Frank Pym, but of the bees?
Yeah, exactly. Bee girl. Yeah. Wasp.
Yeah. No, a wasp is... They're the mean ones. They're mean for no reason.
Yeah, no. That's a desert story.
Maybe you're the real queen, and that's what it is.
The queen bee.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. We call it a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to my guest, Susie Atiba, and our very special interview with beekeeper Natalia, I love to death. Here's all her information because she's going to give it to me afterwards, like right here.
It's on the straw.
Right there. There you go. That's on her. So, yeah, so that's going to be the whole entire episode. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 9, my favorite number in the world. Nine. Thank you, everybody.
Nine times.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Cut the gate. We are out of here. Done. Check the gate. I'm going home. I got a party to go to. Let's wrap it up. Everyone, get out.
Hey, guess where I came from earlier?